over and over again. Like I teach you, repetition is the key to conviction. You know, Hebrews 2:1, it says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest the things we have heard, lest at any time we drift away from them. We slip away from the truth of God's word. One of the focuses of the ministry of the Spirit is to bring you to remembrance of the things that I taught you. So, the office of teaching, of course, if, again, like I was saying, that one of the laxities of this generation is the fact that, you know, we seem to have an air for new things. You just want to hear something new. And I often tell you that the fact that the Bible has not increased in pages shows you we're going to be teaching the same things over and over and over again. Over and over. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 14, Paul says that Timothy should continue in the things that he has learned, being persuaded of whom through he lent them. Verse 15, for from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which have made you wise even to salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. So he says to him again, 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1, he says, be strong in the grace, my son Timothy, be strong in the grace of Jesus Christ. The things that you have learned or heard of me among many witnesses, the same, don't say the same, the same, commit unto faithful men who are or shall be able to teach others. So there is the point of knowing the same things, the same things. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1 says, I charge you before Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. Preach the word. Verse 2, be instant in season and out of season. It says to reprove, to rebuke, to teach with all long suffering, with doctrine and with patience. It says, for a time will come when some will, you know, no longer endure sound doctrine and then will heap up teachers after their own lust. It says they will develop itching ears. That is, you want to hear something that will tingle your ears. You want to, and that's where we have the revs. So say, I have a rev, you know, and they begin to say all sorts of rubbish. You know, people like to sound, you know, sound different. You just want to sound different. You know, somebody just says something crazy. You know, you're like, you know, we have a generation that says, without even considering, you know, so many things within the scripture. You know, I remember somebody was saying something so funny. He says, and you know, people have a way of just, you and they, I got that. It's because we have a generation that wants to hear new things. New things. You just want to, you know, and the way we are, you know, imagine, I was talking to somebody, we're discussing, and I said, look, how did we live? You know, today now, if you leave your home without a phone, you feel you're not complete. What? I forgot my phone, and you rush back home, you know, to get the phone. But come on, just go back to another 12 years ago. I think some 10 years ago, there was a phone. Some 10 years ago, some 11 years ago, we lived without these things. And our lives are successful. You know, but now we just want something new. Somebody says this, when BlackBerry came out, it was so big. Now you have BlackBerry cough, BlackBerry this, just something new. So what's the application? Is that this one can make you talk without opening your mouth. You know, you know, there's just something new. And sometimes we bring the same things to God's word. We believe that something new must be taught every service. Something new must be taught in every way. One of the ways to know a sound preacher of God's word is to watch him over 10 or more years, over many years. As he handled the word over a long span of time, or just is jumping from one belief to another belief, and you know, some people think that you grow by just jumping around ministers, picking so many materials and reading them, because it's the same itching ears problem people have developed, you know. So we look at, and you know, when we say a topic like this, some of you who seem to have been masters in this area will just say, oh my God, like the pastor will come and talk about, you know, the depth of heaven, how deep heaven is, or the width of heaven and the length of heaven. You know, and say, some insight in there. Or look at tongues, interpretation, and other things. I didn't say prophecy, I said other things. So don't say I never said prophecy. I said tongues, interpretation, and other things. So, Paul mentions the gifts of the Spirit. He says there are
diversities of the gifts of the Spirit. He says, but it's the same Spirit. And in verse 10, he says, and then we have kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. And we are dealing with tongues, interpretation of tongues, and other things. The word tongues is the Greek word glossolalia. It has two ready meanings. The first has to do with speech. To speak many words. And another meaning is several languages. Several languages. That's the ready grammatical meaning of the word tongues. But just like every Greek interpretation of words, you have to place the words within the context of its usage. Then you will, you know, be able to understand why that was the term that was used in that. So, like I said, we have speech, words, several words, or several languages. But either way, we place it within the fact that there are gifts of the Spirit. And gifts of the Spirit refer to the gifts of the human Spirit born again, the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of the man born again. The Spirit of Christ, Romans 8:9, you are not in the flesh. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, if any has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the Spirit of bondage again to fear, but the Spirit of adoption. Hereby we cry, Abba, Father. But the Spirit, verse 16, bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Galatians 4:6, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. So the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of the Son of God refers to one and the same thing. 6:17, it says, whosoever is joined together with the Lord is one Spirit. Someone say one Spirit. So when it says the same Spirit is the word where you get, you know, allos, the same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. The same Spirit, the same Lord, the same God. So when we say the gifts of the Spirit, readily people think is the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the sense of the gifts of God. You know, God now gives gifts to people. Know the word, there's the charisma that is a resident faculty in the human spirit that is born again. A resident, you know, present tense ability. Of the human spirit now. It's not something that comes to the human spirit that is born again, but it's what is already resident in the human spirit that is saved. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we're going to open to a couple of references. It says in verse 2, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue, of course the word unknown is in italics, because that means it can be there, it cannot be there. If it's useful, we leave it. If it's not, we remove it. So we still have to investigate whether we can leave it there. An unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. There is in italics. Again, you will take that out of, either it's there or it's not there. If it's not useful, we remove it. If it's useful, we leave it. Albeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. So take a pen and mark the word mysteries. Now we said, the word tongues, glossolalia, is either words spoken or languages. But we can derive, you know, meaning from both, both grammatical, you know, explanations. But you know, whether you speak words or you speak a language, the key thing about languages and speech is communication. It's what? Communication. The essence of a language is to communicate. To communicate thoughts, are we together? To communicate thoughts, opinions, views. To communicate direction, instructions. Thoughts, opinion, to pass across thoughts. That's what words are for. That's what a language is for. So a language is a medium to pass across thoughts. So here he's saying he speaks mysteries. Now notice he didn't say mystery. It says mystery. Now why did I say that? Because firstly, In 1 Corinthians 2 and 7, Paul says we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. He uses it in the singular terminology. In a mystery. Because it's referring to the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now in Ephesians chapter 2, pardon me, chapter 3, you could just turn there. He uses the word mystery again, the word mysterion. It means an undisclosed or a secret. A secret, undisclosed information or a secret. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. The mystery. So when you have the word mystery, it refers to a particular subject matter. The mystery of Christ. The wisdom of God. Ephesians chapter 2 Colossians 1 and verse 27. They said the mystery that was hidden from ages, which is now revealed and manifest to his saints, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that is a subject matter. But when you have mysteries, then you are not referring to a subject matter, but you are referring to a group of words or a language that communicates things, different subject matters. Kinds of things that is not related to a particular subject matter. Let me see if you are following me tonight. So you are not referring to a particular subject matter, but several subject matters. So he's saying that he speaks mysteries. Now, a mystery is defined, will only be defined by the one that does not understand it. So he says he speaks mysteries because there, he talks about two audiences for the speaking in tongues. He says, he that speaks in a tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Speaks not unto men, but unto God. But no man understands. No man understands. He didn't say him. No man understands. Because he's not talking about he, he's talking about the tongues. Are you following here now? Not talking about a he. He says, no man understands him. That means the fellow is mysterious. Or the guy is the mystery. But he says, no man understands. Why? He now explains. Albeit in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. So tongues or the communication of the words, the speech and the language are a secret to who? To the man. Not the man speaking, but the man who is not God. I will see that later now. So, when he said mysteries there, you are referring to several disclosures. Several disclosures, several things. Not a subject matter in particular, but several disclosures. For instance, in Luke 8:10, Jesus says to them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The mysteries of the kingdom of God. Matthew 13, verse 11, leave, says the same thing. The mysteries of the kingdom of God. Because at this point, Jesus was referring to things he was saying to those folks that they did not understand. The parables he was given. So it wasn't a subject matter there, but several things that Jesus was discussing at the same time. So the plural of the word mystery means that the things in discourse are not just one thing. Hallelujah. Okay. So when we refer to tongues, because it's in italics, it's in plural, we will be talking about a language, was a tongues, glossolalia, we will have two things to choose from. Are we referring to several languages because it's in plural? Or we're referring to several words of a language. It's in study that we're going to find out that. It's several languages. Now, again, Note this because it's part of the things we're going to study. That you will see in different references of tongues. In Mark 16:17, Jesus says, "He that believes in me, this sign shall follow me. He will speak with new tongues." New. So, the word new is used to identify tongues. New tongues. Acts 2:1-4, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were seated, and there appeared of them tongues of fire, and sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues. So, new tongues, Mark 16:17, other tongues, Acts 2:4. Acts 10, it says, "For they heard them speak with tongues." It doesn't at that point say anything. It just says, with tongues. Acts 19:6. "And they spoke with tongues." So, Acts 10:46, with tongues. Acts 19:6, with tongues. Acts 2:4, other tongues. Heteros. A different type of. A different sort of tongues. Mark 16, new tongues. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:10, kinds of tongues. 1 Corinthians 12:10, kinds of tongues. 1 Corinthians 12:28, diversities of tongues. 1 Corinthians 12:30, tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, he only uses tongues. So whenever we are mentioning tongues as gifts, you will see diverse or kinds. Whenever they are taught as gifts of the Spirit, you will see diverse or kinds. In Acts 2:4, other tongues. Mark 16:17, new tongues. Acts 10:46, tongues. Acts 19:6, tongues. You take note of all that? Alright, so I said tongues and other things. So we're going to know, you know, what all that means. So let's begin to look at, and I was saying that there's something in Bible interpretation called the law of first mention. Where did we have tongues first mentioned in the Bible? You will see it first in Genesis 11. Because, like I said, don't forget the two grammatical meanings. Different words of a language or different languages. So we're going to take from that in our understanding of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and then other things. Now, when the earth was created, we don't hear about anybody speaking in any tongue. Right from Genesis until Genesis 11 after the flood. In case you want to know more about that, a CD will be coming out very soon where we are discussing some questions that people have about God. And then we shall have a seminar on that very soon. But the prerequisite to attend that seminar is you must have listened to the CD. If not, you will not be able to attend. Now, the point is, Genesis 11:1 says the whole earth was of one language. Are we together? And of one speech. One language and one speech. One dialect, that's what it means, a dialect, a mode of communication. one dialect, a mode of communication. So, the first mention of language in scripture is a mode of what? Communication. Okay? And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime and they had mortar. You know the story in the Tower of Babel. And then God said in verse 6, the Lord said, behold, the people is one. Notice that. And they all have what? They have what? One language, one dialect. And this they begin to do, and nothing will be restrained from them that they have imagined to do. And let us go down and they confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. They take the word there and mark the word. They may not understand one another's speech. They may not understand. So, don't forget, a language is to communicate a thought. If I want to do something, and I want to tell you what I want to do, and you don't know, and no matter how much I try to say, in fact, listen to me, even if I use a sign language, that is a mode of communication. Now, if I cannot communicate my thoughts to you, it becomes fruitless. Okay? It becomes fruitless. It becomes needless. I mean, I can't get you to do what I want you to do when I can't even tell you what I want you to do. So he says, and the Lord scattered them abroad and ends the face of all the earth, and they all left to build the city. Wherefore the name is called Babel, because the Lord did confound their language on all the earth, and then the news scattered from above upon the face of the earth. So, people that had different modes of communicating to one another. So, Genesis 11 lets us know something. You know, that people now started having different modes of communication to one another. So we now have diverse, you know, different languages. In Yoruba, you have Ekiti, you have Oyo, you have Ibadan. You have all sorts of languages, and the best is the Jebu language. Okay? So, Jesus now says, he that believes in me will speak in new tongues. Mark 16. New tongues. And the word new there is a word that means different. A fresh thing. Unknown till now. An unknown tongue till now. Acts 2 says other tongues, a different sort of language. A different kind of language. So let's go to the law. I mean, when Jesus said that, what happened afterwards? I'll just buttress this so that you can understand. And in Acts 2, verse 1 to 4, where we have what we refer to as the outpouring of the Spirit, and the church was birthed, and they all spoke with tongues, other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. They spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, they were just like was Solomon's porch. It was not the upper room. It was the Solomon's porch. People were around them. You know, as those people gathered, you know, as they broke and then they gathered, you know, and that shows you that, you know, the Bible says that when the upper room was fully covered, they were all, that means that they had church meetings very, very early. So, you know, when people now gathered after a while and then saw what was going on, and the Bible says they had them, you know, they had them magnify God. Some, you know, had them speak the wonderful works of God, you know, and, you know, so on and so forth. Why was it easy for them? Because it was an open place. You could hear people talk. You get my point. 120 people, you could hear them talk, you know, and magnify God. Different people heard different things, you know, and it says in our own tongue. Now, somebody asked a question, you know, just like, you know, Pentecostals have derived their movement from this particular scripture. And oftentimes, because they refused to study, majority refused to study, they concluded that on the day of Pentecost, people gathered in one place and were speaking languages of different nations. And you see, it's unfortunate that we could, you know, think like that. We carried that thought for years. I had always had a problem with that thinking because it just didn't make sense. You know, of what use will it be for me to pick your language in someone's language somewhere and say the language? And of course, you know, because like I said, people just take that belief and they won't bother to find out, you know, what what's been said. But if you look at sequence of the same experience, and you see the Acts 10 experience from 44 to 46, you will see that they spoke with tongues and then magnified God. Okay? Acts 19:6, they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Okay? So, that shows you that the outpouring of the Spirit was tongues and interpretation. Are we together now? That was why those who gathered in Solomon's porch could understand the meaning of what they were saying. They couldn't have understood the meaning of tongues because tongues are new and they are another. Are we here? And then but the Bible says no man understands it. Okay? In fact, Paul says that when you speak in tongues and an unbeliever should come in, will he not say you are mad? Will he not say you are, how can he understand what you say? And that is why it is called a mystery, because the man who is not born again cannot understand it. Are we here? Mm-hmm. We're here. The man who is not born again cannot understand it. Let me say that again. The man who is born again cannot receive the thoughts that you are communicating. The man who is born again cannot receive the thoughts that are passing across. So in 1 Corinthians 14:14, Paul says, if I speak with tongues, he says, my understanding is unfruitful. My understanding is unfruitful. Verse 16, if I speak with tongues, if you're blessed with the Spirit, how can he that occupies the room of your learned say amen and the giving of thanks, seeing that he understands not what you say? Now in Acts 2, did those folks understand what they were saying? Sure. They heard them magnify God. They heard them speak the wonderful works of God. And that could not have been the tongues that they heard. They heard the interpretation of the tongues. Let me share and get that clear to you. Okay. They couldn't have heard the tongues. And as somebody was saying this, say, Pastor, is it not possible that as they were speaking in tongues, maybe the interpretation also came back, it came out in somebody else's language? I said, that's silly. Paul says, my understanding is unfruitful when I speak with tongues. But when I interpret, he says, I will pray with the Spirit, I will pray with what? The understanding. So if I'm saying something and my understanding is still unfruitful, it has to be tongues. Are we here? It has to be tongues. And then tongues cannot be understood by the man who is not born again. Okay? Is that clear? It is a tongue cannot be understood by the man who does not speak the language. A tongue cannot be understood by the man who is not born again. The man who is not born again, of course, can speak many languages. Some people like that I met, there was a man who were business partners and he could speak 11 languages. 11. So if you try to use your kind of Pentecostal tongues, that kind of person, he will just be flowing with the gifts of interpretation of tongues. He will just be readily telling you what you are saying. And in fact, you will be the one that will say he's mad. Okay. So now let's look at a parable of languages. Amen. I'll just give you two examples. Genesis chapter 42. Like we've seen in the law of Genesis, the very first mention of language is to communicate thought. They mean the languages were diverse, thoughts could not be communicated anymore. Okay? Is that clear? Beautiful. So, and speaking with tongues is to communicate mysteries. Mysteries. Things will be said in a way that somebody else will not understand it. Not that nothing was said. It's just that it's a mystery to the man who does not understand it. So Genesis chapter 42. This is Joseph's case. Now Joseph, met his brothers. And so when he met his brothers, he now asked them a question. He says, look, how many are you? And he said, we are 12. One of us, is no more. In verse 13, Genesis 42. And so he kept them behind, he kept them in prison, And then he told them, he said, look, go and bring your youngest brother. In verse 20. So I can verify what you are saying so that you not die. Verse 21, Genesis 42. And they said to them, he said one to another. Now when they were talking, they were Jews. Hebrews, they call them Hebrews. They are not Jews at this point. They were Hebrews, coming from the language of what they call Chaldees. Let's don't go into all that. So they were now trying to talk to themselves, and they wanted to say something that Joseph will not hear. So they says, we are very guilty concerning our brother. in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, it was, you know, I will not hear. Therefore, is this distress come upon us? So they were telling themselves, look, it's what we did to Joseph that is happening to us now. And they are not correct. They are not wrong. Verse 22. And Reuben answered and said, speak I not unto you? Can you imagine when everybody has done it, they're not telling you, speak I not unto you? How many years after? Saying, do not sin against the child. Are you not here? Now behold, his blood is required of us. Now 23. And they knew not that Joseph understood them. For he spoke unto them by an interpreter. Now listen to this. You know, Joseph, of course, did not appear to them like he understood them. So he was still telling, so that means they were communicating by interpretation. What do you say? Okay, so I'll tell them what you were saying. Now listen, I believe that this helped Joseph, you know, to see them in another light. He could see that they were passing across their thoughts. And they were able to tell themselves, look, we are suffering for something we have done wrong. We warned you, I warned you, don't do it. We are arguing amongst ourselves. So you see that, so these guys really feel repentance of what they have done. Obviously, if you look at their lifestyle later on, it shows that they actually were changed folks, you know, from what they had done wrong, you know. Now, the point is this. Here you have people using language to communicate thoughts amongst themselves so that the other party will not understand what they were saying. Hallelujah. But he did. He understood them. He got the thoughts of their heart by knowing the language that they spoke. He got the thoughts of their heart by knowing the language that they spoke. Another parable of language we will see. Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5. That is just before Uzziah. When Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, so he beckoned on Daniel to tell him what was written on the wall. There was an handwriting on the wall, and then he called every wise man to tell him what was written. You know, he called all the wise men in verse 8. He called, you know, even said, look, whoever can read this writing, show me his attention, shall be clothed with scarlet. He called astrologers, Chaldeans, soothsayers, you know, virtually everybody, you know, who could understand things, the learned people of the land. He called everybody, but nobody understood what it meant. So he called Daniel. And Daniel said, look, this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upasin. Then from each phrase, he gave an interpretation. This is what this meant. This is what that one meant. So we're giving a meaning to it. That shows you language passes across. It's for communication. It's for communication. It passes things across. It can talk about things, subject matters, events, people, places, and so on and so forth. Are we together? Are we together here? Okay, so 1 Corinthians 14, now I'll go back there. Don't forget, we have things to study about tongues. We have other tongues. We have new tongues. And we have tongues. We are yet to say unknown, because that's in italics. But we may borrow it, we may not borrow it, but it depends as we go on. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14, then verse 2, he that speaks in tongues speaks not unto men, but unto God. Speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands. Did he say him? Albeit in the spirit, because it's a gift of the spirit, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. He didn't say mysteries unto God. He can't be speaking mysteries unto God. If, for instance, the Igbos here talk to themselves, they are not talking mysteries to them. It's only a mystery to the man who does not understand. So it's not a mystery to God at all. It's a mystery to men. Well, it says, no man understands. That is, a man's mind cannot understand tongues. Because it is not learned. You don't learn it. I hear some people are writing tongues down. They are as daft as what they are writing. So you want to learn it. Koli, koli. It means cool temper. Say robo, 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 robo. All the robos will be born again. He says, no man. Now listen well and listen very, very well. Like I said earlier, if you look at it, you know, we said, where it is mentioned as tongues, the word divers and kinds are used. Now, I want you to listen well, that you can get this. However, as a gift of the Spirit, which is for ministry, verse 5, verse 6, and verse 7, and verse 11, when it is not interpreted, it does not pass its message across. I'll take that again. When it is not interpreted, it does not pass its message across. So therefore, what would be the use of tongues? If does not bless anybody. On its own. In Acts 2, it had to be interpreted. In Acts 10, same thing. In Acts 19. And in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul taught extensively that an uninterpreted tongues goes to God, but is a mystery to men. So, I will speak with tongues, and I'll speak with the understanding. Amen? Are we there? Okay. So, what then will be the benefit of tongues? Hold it there, because that's what we're learning. Tongues plus interpretation, according to Paul, is prophecy. Verse 5, verse 26, and so on and so forth. Now, notice. Let's backtrack a bit to prophecy, because prophecy, you are speaking new prophecy. Prophecy has been a regular gift from the Old Testament. 2 Timothy, of course, 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God. You know, and is profitable for doctrine. That's talking about the prophecy of the scripture. 2 Peter 1:20. No prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. It says, holy men of God spoke in old times. You know, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 1 Peter 1:10-12 says, the Spirit of Christ in them did signify, you know, as they prophesied of the grace that shall come unto us. So, the prophecy, of course, there speaks about, you know, the holy men of God who spoke by the Spirit. Hebrews 1:1, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. So, they spoke by prophecy. You know, under the old covenant, they spoke by prophecy. They spoke out the mind of God. They spoke out, you know, what was in the mind of God to bless others. They spoke it out. And that was prophecy. Now let me say this so that you could just think. From the old covenant, prophecy was to speak out of the mind of God, of the Spirit of God. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved. 2 Peter 1:21, by the Holy Spirit. But then you look at the fact that Paul now says that I will speak with tongues and I will speak with my understanding. When I pray, my spirit prays. Can we still say that prophecy in this age, the church age, is to speak the mind of God. Can we confidently say that? You know, at this material point in time, knowing that we already have the mind of God. Hallelujah. It was used under the old covenant to give out the mind of God, which we have interpreted in the epistles to us. So can we still call prophecy to speak out the mind of God? Can you still say that prophecy is God talking to others? So mark that some of the things we'll study. Of course, some of you just conclude that what I mean is it's not God that is talking. You know, some people have a way of jumping and then failing an exam. Acts 2:17, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, the last days. It says, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And don't forget, he says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Hallelujah. Are we there? And that was a ready explanation for what happened in Acts 2 verse 1, you know, to verse 4. What happened in Acts 2, 1 to 4? You spoke with other tongues. Okay? And then they magnified God. They spoke the wonderful works of God. That was what happened in Acts 2. And Peter teaches that as they were prophesying. What you will see in Acts 2 was that they spoke with tongues, other tongues, and what was received by outsiders was the fact that they prophesied and then they understood. Like I explained, when tongues cannot be understood until they are interpreted. I think that is clear to any Bible student. On the day of Pentecost, tongues was not understood. Interpretation of tongues brought the understanding to the people. Interpretation of tongues has to be in the language known to the speaker and to the hearer. Are we together? For someone to understand you, that means you will speak the person's language, Abi, and they will speak your language. So for them to understand what happened in Acts 2, what they were saying in Acts 2, that means it got to a point. They spoke in their own language. A language understood both by the speaker and then by the hearer. 1 Corinthians 14:22. Tongues are a sign to those that don't believe. But prophesying not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. He didn't say it's a sign for them that believe. He says, but it is for them that believe not. Now the King James puts the word serves. That is something that you use. It's a sign to the unbeliever. Prophecy is a tool for the believer. Not sign. So we'll just run now and look at tongues as a gift of the Spirit through ministries. 1 Corinthians 12:6. There are diversities of operations with the same God that worketh all in all. 1 Corinthians 14:18, Paul, a ministry gift, of course, obviously says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. I love that fact. It says more than you all. That shows you that tongues is not just a language. Tongues refer to a speech. Okay? It's not just a language, but words. So, because you can't use more if there's nothing quantitative about it. Okay? Let me see if I understand that. Something quantitative. That means you can quantify tongues. So the same way you can quantify words. You know, when you want to psych somebody, say, I cannot quantify how much you have been a blessing to me. But really, if you talk, somebody is recording it, they will quantify it. They can dub what you are saying and somebody will transcribe whatever you are saying. So words can be put into writing. So when it says, I speak with tongues more than you all. Of course, some people have called it qualitative. But you see, you can't have qualitative tongues because they cannot be understood. It's not learnt. So it cannot be qualitative. It can only be quantitative. Because it now refers to the pluralistic value of tongues. When I say I speak with tongues more than you all, that's why immediately it says that, however, in the church, I would rather speak 5 words in known language than 10,000 words. We'll see that in a moment with tongues. So therefore, if we say a language is a medium to pass across thoughts and information, a view, an opinion, or an insight, of course, it becomes readily the expression of tongues. However, the newness of it is a dialect. The newness of it is a dialect. However, the impact of what it does is readily explained by the words that are spoken. Hallelujah. Okay. So we're saying the law of first mention, which we'll go back to it again. Now Paul says to Timothy, for instance, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18, says, prophecies have gone before on you, that with them you wage a good warfare. You know, now, the law of first mention always leads us back to Acts 2. You have seen the law in Genesis, the beginning. The law of first mention lets us know something about tongues. For instance, Acts 2:1 says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, that means that it was 6 a.m. And then, when Peter was going to speak, he says this is the third hour of the day. That's 9 a.m. in the morning. That means that the folks here at the minimum spoke with tongues for how long? 3 hours. When you read Acts 10, for instance, and the Bible tells you, for instance, that they spoke with tongues, we have the view, you know, and this also happens whenever we have a view of the Holy Ghost, you know, and it loses its impact on people readily. You know, sometimes when you have people speak with the Holy Ghost like that, so for folks just say, go, amen. And just, you know, if you look at the Acts 10 example, look at it. Acts 10. I want you to watch something. And as they spoke this word, the Holy Ghost fell on them, heard the word, verse 44. And they of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because there on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter. So, he says, can anybody forbid them? Of course, Peter was with them for days. Look at Acts 19. Laid hands upon them and they spoke with tongues and then they prophesied. You will observe now that, you know, we said that tongues is the quantitative aspect of it. There's a qualitative aspect that we'll talk about, but it is not readily the issue. You will see this, that the more people exercise themselves with tongues, the easier they will interpret it. The more people exercise themselves with tongues, look at Paul's explanation. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. However, in the church, he says, I will speak out. He said, out. I will speak out for those people who are in the congregation. He said, I will speak out 5 words. Let's look at it. 5 words in with my understanding, that my voice I might teach others also. He's not saying I will speak in tongues a lot in service. He said that I may teach others. So Paul is referring to public speaking than 10,000 words in tongues. Than 10,000 words in tongues. So this is a man that can speak 10,000 words in tongues. Now, when you say words, you know, a word is definite. Okay? If I say chair, 10 chairs. If I say the chair is big, how many words? 3. Okay? Are we following? The chair is big. There are 10 chairs in the room, so you begin to quantify the number of words that I've just said. So if tongues is a mode of communicating things, then tongues can be quantitative. That is, the more I speak with tongues, the more thoughts I am passing across. I am actually discussing something. The longer it is, the broader the explanation, the more the information I am passing across. So in Acts 2, they must have talked in tongues for 3 hours. So we have a pattern for tongues. Tongues must be done extensively. And in the tongue spoken, you will discover again that there was interpretation. So note that as we study on. So when you say 10,000 words, there are definite things. He speaks mysteries. Definite things, indefinite to the man who doesn't understand. For in the Tower of Babel, what will just happen is that somebody will want to say, let's use brown. And he doesn't know how to say it. That's what happened. I just say, And he'll tell us the other, let's use green. Jeka lo or da ewe. Abi? Is that right? Or the Ilawa away. Yes, yes. I think we should use brown. Someone will kill me. That was it. What's going on? I just can't get them anymore. I was thinking that. Why did they get it? Don't answer why. Did you get it? So that was enough to say, look. Let's just go do something else. I say, you have a battle alone. Or wow, yeah. And everybody goes their way. You know, they started out with a purpose. They said they wanted to build a tower. But language made the tower impossible. It became a mystery. The building of a tower became a mystery to the man who wanted to build the tower. And they were all saying the same thing, but the mode of communication was different. And since it was different, their understanding was unfruitful. Is that clear? So the understanding being unfruitful is not that the tongues is meaningless. It is your mind that is meaningless. As touching what was being passed across. Praise God. Okay. So, let's re-examine something I mentioned earlier. when tongues, so can we say? And Paul is now saying that, whereas in church, I would rather interpret tongues. Say, but I speak with tongues more than you all. And he's saying that if you cannot have an interpretation, speak to yourself and to God. Now, Jesus said, he that believes in me shall speak with tongues. That shows you that tongues are not just the gift of the Spirit, like we have gifts of healings. It plays a role that is different. You know, there's a song that we used to sing in religious days. I don't remember the song now. Amen, 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 amen. We bind the devil. Remember the song? Using God's power. Inanna. We speak in tongues. Satan is confused. Deliverance is power. I didn't know if I was starting. Now, that song led me to study my Bible, I'll tell you. Late 94. When I heard that song again, in one fellowship meeting, before then, my belief was that tongues is somebody's language. So I said, Satan is confused. How? If I'm speaking Chinese, how is Satan confused? He has many Chinese songs. So I said to myself, there's something about this that we don't know. And that led me to do some study and listening also. Now listen. Why would Satan... Now, let's look at it like this. There's a communication between a man and God, and men don't understand. Okay? Every time there's a distinction there, it's between the believer and the non-believer. Why? Because the spirit that is at work in them is the spirit of the prince of the power of the air. Okay? Ephesians 2 verse 2 and 3. And I ask the question, does Satan understand tongues? He can't. Because Satan uses people's language. He's just an angel. You know, an angel will only use men's language. If an angel comes to you and talks to you and you don't understand what he's saying, rest assured you're watching the movie. He has to use a man's language. So Satan, if the unbeliever does not know tongues, he is not worse off than his father, the devil. He does not know tongues. I know the Bible talks about the mystery that was hidden from the princes of this world. Had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They would not have. So if they had known, they would not have. So a mystery is to prevent a person from, praise God. So that means, when there's a discussion between a man and God, it prevents, now if I come now, and I'm talking, and I'm saying something to God, or saying something to somebody else, and Satan is there, he just, by adventure, is lucky enough to be around you, maybe you fellowship around a lot, he will know what you're saying. I mean, someone say, but what's the key thing? Big deal. What is Satan? If Satan knows, God is God. God told the wise men not to let Satan know that Jesus was in the manger. So it became a mystery. And Satan was confused. He killed children. And then he said to Joseph, take the child. Don't tell your best friend. That's not the time to send the text. I'm out of the country. I'm going to Egypt. Don't say it. Satan did not know. Okay? He left. When the guy died, he brought him back. Of course, again, Satan did not know until John publicly said it. There was to be a time where Jesus would be publicly known. I said, this is the Lamb of God. Maybe after that, he was tempted of the devil. He did not know. So, that mystery is not really from men. Amen. Do you understand? Okay? It is from the devil. Hallelujah. When we relate with God, when we pray to God, for instance, it is from the devil. And of course, when I say the devil, you know, you are referring to people. Do you get it? wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Ephesians 6:12. That means that you will see a human agent, but it's actually a spirit that yields to the spirit of the power of the air. But look at this. Now, if tongues create, let's go over to get back to Genesis 11 again. Now that means a group of people just had to go, let's go and form our own city here. So they couldn't form one single city. That means because we could not work with these people because they did not understand our language. Amen. So, tongues, therefore, they screen the audience. It cleans the audience. It screens the audience. Don't forget, we have not started explaining it. I'm just giving you things to think about. So, if it's a mode of communication, that means it's something that is between two people or a group of people that another group don't know. So there were no languages until Genesis 11. There was nothing you would say nobody would not know. But Genesis 11, I'll say something and somebody doesn't know what I'm talking about. And then we could not work together. Let me say, you are following that clearly. You're going to work together. Okay? So, that means, now go back to verse 19, 1 Corinthians 14. In 10,000 words in tongues. Of course, this is a parable way of speaking. But of course, in the parable, you take a lesson from it. That means tongues are a language. They are a language. And unlike, someone like, why can't we write it down? It's an utterance. It is communicated by utterance. It's not communicated by writing. It's communicated by utterance. The prophecy of the Old Testament was prophecy of scripture. Things were written down. This is a communication by speaking. And because it's by speaking, you will find words used for you like unknown, stammering lips, you know, which cannot be intelligent. Romans 8:26. So, at the breadth of that, I asked a question, sorry, I skipped that. Tongues serve as a gift of the Spirit to minister. Okay? But then, tongues serve as a mode to communicate with God. They magnified God. Acts 10:46. I will bless with the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 14:16. Pray with the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 14:15. So that means there's a role tongues play that we need to understand. Why was it so key in the three examples in Acts 2, Acts 10, and Acts 19? It was very key. It was something, you know, you would have just been, and then, why did he say, when the people will come, and one place, one accord, and then, you know, they prophesied, and then they spoke in tongues or something. It always shows it as a primary thing in the three examples. It's always primary. It's something that is like the beginning of something, that it starts something in the church age. Okay. That's the beginning for us. I'll close here now.
Alright, so I'll close here now. So, we're looking at tongues, interpretation, and other things. You wonder what is other things? Why did we say prophecy? Because we're not really discussing prophecy. So, you will see the other things that we need to know about tongues. Now, we said that tongues is more of the quantitative than the qualitative. I asked you, they spoke with tongues for 3 hours. So there is something about tongues that deals with the quantitative aspect of it. I speak with tongues more than you all. More than you all. More than you all. Hallelujah. In Jude 20, when it says, build up yourselves on the most holy faith. In the Greek, it's something that has to do with a present tense continuum. Something you do always. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 6:18. Paul says to pray. You know, he says to pray always in the Spirit. To pray always in the Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, we'll ask a question. Let me just throw this, you know. Some of you will just say, well, some of you ask a question like, well, if I want to pray, for instance, someone say, is it that I'll just pray and then God will now give me, you know, we have the idea that when I'm praying, that God, when I'm praying in tongues, God supplies the requests. So, it's like, God now gives me the prayer things to pray. That's no longer prayer now. That's robots, a robot. That's no longer prayer. What prayer means, I have a desire, and I want to talk to God in a mystery. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? I'm not trying to explain, I'm just giving you some snippets. I want to say something to God, and I want to say it in a mystery. Praise God. That means I have something I want to say. And I want to say it in a mystery. Hallelujah. Alright, we're closed. Let's bow our heads and thank God. Bless the Lord. Thank you.